Look, up in the sky. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Empire Podcast. Sorry about that, if I got your hopes up. Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt, and welcome to a very special episode of the Empire Podcast, brought to you in association with our very lovely and talented chums at Sky Cinema. Inspired by our wildly successful Is Die Hard a Christmas Movie Pod last year. Four listeners. Four listeners.
Yes.
You twice.
Yep, I loved
you
it.
You once. And then me. We've convened a very special and talented pod crew for a short series of podcast debates, or pod debates, if you will. And the first in that series asks a question that has tormented mankind since the dawn of time, or at the very least, since the dawn of justice. Who is the greatest big screen DC hero of them all? Batman or Superman? The Caped Crusader or the Man of Steel? Other heroes are available. And if you want to conduct your own thorough research into this topic, a whole host of Superman and Batman flicks and films featuring other DC heroes are available in the DC Heroes collection on Sky Cinema, which runs from August 17th until September 1st. And remember, only Sky Cinema have a brand new premiere every day. And here to argue the toss for Bats or Supes, Bruce or Clark, Wayne or Kent, are three of the greatest real-life heroes I know. First up is our very own Superman. Not just because I suspect that he was sent here from a dying planet to show mankind a better way to host shows on Sky Cinema, but because he's frankly wearing his wife runs over his trousers, and it's very disconcerting. You will believe a man can sky.
That whole thing was just for that, wasn't it?
I'm glad I wore them on the outside.
It's Alex Zane.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, very well, very well. Thank you very much. Yeah, I got a funny look on the tube like this, but, you know, I call it commitment.
Mainly because your wife runs have Dave Barry's face on me, which is very strange.
He's my Superman.
Speaking of which, next
up, I wasn't here after that. What a strange reference.
What a strange thing to ask a shop to print.
I got it online.
DaveFerryWifeRants.com. Yeah. Next up is our very own Batman. May have given his identity away already. Not just because he leads a double life, hosting the Absolute Radio Breakfast Show by day and punching crime in the nose by night, but because he insists on his nipples being prominent at all times. Please welcome, straight from the Berry Cave, Dave Berry. How are you?
Hello, Chris. Very good, thank you. Nice to be here again. Hello, dear pod listeners.
All three of them. All three members of the same family.
You can say hello by name if you want.
Hello, Mum, Dad and Katie.
Are your Mum and Dad called Mum and Dad? It's amazing.
It just made it easy for me growing up. They had got names. I said, look, I've got a lot of stuff to focus on, so I've rebranded you, Mum and Dad. I didn't care which way round it was either. That's the very confusing thing.
You were progressive, and I like that. Next up, we have Empire's very own Wonder Woman, an Amazonian geek queen who arrived here all the way from the island paradise of
Themyscira.
Can we just say Port Stewart?
Yes.
It's Helen O'Hara.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. And yep. As for me, because I'm sure people at home are wondering, I asked my wife this morning which DC character I most closely resemble, and she said The Flash. So make of that what you will.
It's because you've been training for that 10K.
That's what it is. She said it really disconcertingly quickly, actually. She just went, The Flash. Anyway. Now the intro is right out of the way. I think we have 5 minutes left. It's time to ask the big question. Now, I'm not going to ask anything as gauche as who would win in a fight, Batman or Superman. Instead, very simply, I'm going to ask, who is the greatest big screen hero, Batman or Superman? And Alex, I'm looking directly at you.
You are. I mean, I think it's worth saying right now, this isn't a topic you walk into casually. This is a topic that people have fought wars over. People get passionate about this subject. It's a terrifying thing to discuss. I'm almost scared to actually bring an answer to the table. That said, it's Batman, so there you go. We're done. Great to see you guys.
Thanks for coming in, Alex.
What I found in thinking about this, because you're right, it's such a big deal, is that the classic saying, my head is telling me, whichever way round you put the two names, so my head's telling me Superman, but my heart tells me Batman. But in equal measure, I could say, you know, my head's telling me Batman, but my heart tells me Superman. Both work.
Okay. Yep, so you've completely sat on the fence there.
What I plan to do, like with Die Hard, as three of you will know, I plan to sit back, chip in the odd thing, because I've seen both these sets of movies, and then at the end, through your expert opinions, finally take one of those opinions as my own.
Okay,
and push it forward
victory.
As a Daybreak exclusive going forward.
Right. No, I like that. Because we had established in the Die Hard podcast, Dave, that you had just seen Die Hard. And you were dimly aware of the other films in the series.
Let me defend myself. That's not true, for a start. I was invited on to do it because I'm a big fan. But the thing was, what was massively unsettling with Chris and James Alex, I walked in and before Chris presses record, he went, "So all agreed it's a Christmas movie, right?" I was like, "Oh, actually, I had a different opinion." So I thought if we ever got back together in a room again, I'd just wait until you said your piece and then I'll join in at the end.
It's Batman.
Okay.
All right, Batman. Helen, let's ask you the big question. Is Batman Returns a Christmas movie?
Yes. That's not the question.
Damn it.
Right, I'm really actually thrown by your wording of the question, because who's the best on-screen superhero? Because, Batman, shot for shot, has had better films on average than Superman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
But given the choice between the two, Superman is my guy, I don't care about Batman as much. But Batman's films are on average better, even accounting for the just horrible ones.
I think you raised the most important point about what we're discussing here, because genuinely, as you said, I mean, nothing can hold a torch to the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy. That is, it's done. That is why Batman is the best big screen superhero. However, there is an interesting discussion to be had about who is genuinely the better hero and how they have been represented on screen and whether they have been done justice on the big screen.
Mm. Okay. Let's have a discussion.
Well, I would say for a start that whilst I totally agree with the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, it's just an incredible series of movies. I think that the whole idea of it being 1978 and the tagline being "You'll believe a man can fly," and what that first Superman movie did on a cinematic scale, and also possibly arguably for me, my favourite superhero movie full stop is Superman 2.
Right, of course.
Thank you. Terrence Stamp as General Zod. Absolutely love that movie. And I think that what that did for the superhero genre, the idea you will believe a man can fly. And I think the special effects still hold up in a way. I think he still looks okay. There's some close-up shots that are a bit dubious.
Die Hard.
There's some landing on some car stuff that I think actually looks quite good. Yeah. Superman... Beyond Batman and beyond Christopher Nolan has done wonders for the superhero genre from a movie perspective.
But that's it, isn't it? Like, Superman since Superman 2, not so great.
No, that's very true.
Not so great.
I'm not here to diss Superman 3, by the way.
No.
Oh, come on.
I will go to bat all day long for Superman 3.
I don't hate Superman 3.
Skiing down a skyscraper, what's not to love?
Precisely. No, but Superman Returns, great casting in Brandon Routh, and just the film is just no.
We can literally sum up Superman Returns with one sentence. That plane scene's good. And there we go. That's it.
The plane scene is good.
So that plane scene is a truly thrilling piece of action cinema. And you go, why was there no more of that? And I know you wanted to pay homage to Richard Donner's version and sort of make it a continuation. But at that point, I mean, Batman Begins had just come out the year before. And then we sort of took a real back step in terms of what they were doing with a superhero on screen with Superman Returns.
And the weird thing is that you can make a great superhero film with a good guy, with an uncomplicated good guy. We've seen it by the other guys. We've seen it done. We know it can be done. And yet nobody in the last 30 years seems to have done it with Superman.
I wonder if that is because Christopher Reeve, whether it's because of our age or whether it is just because of how much he encapsulated what we see Superman as, that character, that no one else could ever come close, because he's just this amazing force of good in the suit, and then this incredible, bumbling, slapstick, comedic actor as Clark Kent.
That's what I was going to say. I'd go as far to say that I think the alter ego plays a big part in this. And as you say, and rightfully so, Christopher Reeve is an amazing... plays an amazing Clark Kent as well as he does Superman. And to go into the Batman universe, whilst Christian Bale did amazing work across those three films, Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne, he's not wired right. And I know that this has been said before, but obviously in order to go on the kind of Batman-esque rampage against crime, you need to be slightly unhinged in one way or the other. Mm. And it was all about vengeance and being angry when it came to the Christopher Nolan movies. But what I loved about the Tim Burton films is that we've got a Bruce Wayne who's just a bit... you can see it's just not something's twitching behind the eye. And I loved that. It was literally electrifying on the screen.
I think he's great. I think Christopher Nolan Batman is not my favourite Batman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Okay, sorry. I
think they're great
films. I thought
films.
I was in a safe space. I'm sorry.
It's not mine either, but I said earlier, I was talking generally, but go on.
But they are great films. I totally agree with you, but he's not my favourite Batman because of exactly that, and I feel like the Michael Keaton Batman with that kind of slight off-kilterness is better. I personally love Lego Batman, I think. He's got that down because it takes a certain kind of madness to, you know, dress as a bat and go around and fight crime.
In black
that.
Or very, very dark
very,
grey.
Very, very dark grey.
Bruce Wayne lives in my attic, but to not talk Batman about, lives in my basement.
To talk about these alter egos, I think the one thing, there are numerous things that we can talk about with Man of Steel, but I think the fact... To take it outside the movies for a moment, although in Man of Steel, we get very little Clark Kent. We don't get very little Clark Kent. We see very little of him in that role. And I think that removes one of the most relatable things about Superman, because Superman is this godlike alien with all these powers. And yet, in some ways, he's more relatable than Bruce Wayne, because Bruce Wayne is a billionaire who lives in a mansion. Clark Kent, who is Superman... has to meet the bills, he has to pay his taxes, he has to remember to say Clark instead of Superman in Starbucks when they ask your name. Like, he actually has real-world problems that we all share. He doesn't have the money.
And also, as well, Bruce Wayne is famously an orphan, but, you know... Superman is the ultimate orphan.
He's never mentioned it.
For the first hour and a half of every film. No, but, you know, Superman's got no home planet, for heaven's sake. Just parents.
I mean, BVS, when it starts with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you're like, again?
Well, this is it. Look, Tim Burton's Batman starts by ridiculing Batman's origin story. They actually play it for laughs at the beginning of Tim Burton's Batman in 1989, and we're still replaying the death of his parents.
It's amazing. There's a whole line of Thomas Waynes and Martha Waynes. You could populate your own multiverse of all these people.
One of my favourite things is
Teen Titans.
That's great. Yeah,
Teen Titans good. Go to the movies. Yeah. That's my favourite.
That's brilliant.
But there was one year at Comic-Con, apparently a couple dressed in just very nice, slightly old-fashioned clothes were going around the con, and every time they saw somebody dressed up as Batman, would run up to him and go, "Son," hug him, and then fall down dead.
Which is great way of spending an afternoon.
Inspired.
I think part of the reason Tim Burton did that is because Tim Burton was not a comic book fan when he approached Batman. It wasn't it was not a passion project for him, and so he made what he wanted his version of Batman to be on the big screen. And I do think it's slightly unfair that these days people are going, how can Batman kill? Why is Batman killing now? He doesn't kill. It's he kind of did in Tim Burton's movies. Back then he was killing. And it's you hire a director with a certain vision for a character and then moan because they break apparently this golden rule that Batman doesn't kill, which in fact only came about because of censorship laws in the 40s. That's why Batman doesn't kill. It wasn't a character trait that they went, oh, Batman's not going to kill. It was because they had him. Batman used to walk around with a gun shooting people in the comics, and then
in the face.
Superman used to use poison gas to off his enemies, and then they sort of went, actually, kids' mums might not buy these comics for them with all this death. So they wrote that any villain in any of these comics had to die by their own evil machinations as opposed to being killed by the heroes.
I believe it's called the A-Team law.
Yeah. Well, but it actually,
no one actually dies.
It actually works out very well in terms of environmentalism because it's recycling your villains. It leaves them alive to fight again another day.
And it does mean that Batman's no killing rule does mean that we get the complexity of that character in the sense that if he kills, then he'd have killed.
How is he different?
Right. And he'd also kill the Joker by now, which would have reduced the amount of comics out there.
Be the first thing you do. Yeah. First order business, kill Joker.
Great for the environment, though.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Yeah, super good.
But when did we first experience these characters on the big screen? Because none of us were alive in 1966 with the Batman movie with Adam West. But what about the Chris Reeve Superman, the Richard Donner Superman? So was that our first exposure to these characters?
Yeah, I think my first foray into it was, as I say, Superman 2.
Just to clarify, I wasn't alive in that year, 1978.
Nor was I.
I wasn't going to the cinema. What I mean is, it was when they just became, they were on the TV,
and you could
record them via a thing called a VHS tape, Alex. I know, don't worry, just ask your parents. And then you would just rewind and rewatch again and again. And the thing I remember about Superman 2 from being a kid is that there's the whole bit in it where, plot spoiler, where he gives up his powers so he can live as a normal man, so he can be with Lois Lane. Mm-hmm. And just as a kid, just thinking, boring! And fast-forwarding it forward until the bit where they're in the office block and the fighting starts again. I've softened slightly over the years. But yeah, no, that was definitely my first foray into the world of Superman and slash all Batman.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely saw them on TV. It was like, you know, Christmas Day TV, right? With Superman sometime in the 80s, I guess. I think I went to the cinema for Batman. I think I was just old enough to sneak in.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
I remember, well, I say I remember, it was only recently, we actually did a Sky Cinema poll about what was the greatest DC moment from their entire catalogue of movies. Oh, wow. And it was a moment from Superman. It's the moment where he catches Lois Lane when she falls from the helicopter.
You've got me, who's got you?
Exactly, that was voted the best moment. I just love the fact that that movie came out, when you get into the whole backstory of everything that was going on behind the scenes, and they still managed to make this movie, largely, I think, thanks to Richard Donner and his vision for what the film could be. But dealing with Marlon Brando, and I only mention this because I watched Lost Soul, the documentary about the making of the Island of Dr. Moreau the other day, which is...
it's incredible.
It's so good. But, like, he wanted... he approached them and said, I think Jor-El, my character, should be represented on screen by a suitcase or a bagel with my voice.
Yeah.
And I watched this documentary, and I was like, is that true? And in this documentary, he's like, I want Dr. Moreau to wear an elaborate hat that he removes at the end, and it turns out he was a dolphin all along.
Wow.
Okay, Marlon. I'll just write that down.
And $5 million. Okay, got you. No problem.
To what extent was he just fucking with people?
Well, that's it.
Like, it must have been.
Because I think especially by the time it got to Dr. Moreau, he had such contempt for the world of acting and his career in general. He was like, I'm going to be a dolphin.
I mean, fine animals.
Yeah.
I think.
Wonderful.
Very smart.
Wonderful. And that's why you pay for Marlon Brando to be in an elaborate hat disguised as a dolphin.
I really do hope at the end of this pod I take a hat off and I was a dolphin all along. That'd be great, wouldn't it? I do remember that seeing Batman at the cinema was one of the first movies to be certified at 12. Mm-hmm. I think I was 11 and I felt the real danger of going in and blagging my way in some like 3 months off my 12th birthday.
Man, please.
I even got my friend Paul to stand on my shoulders and we wore a mat. it's like you're 12 weeks away, Dave. It's not necessary. Yeah. But the bit in that movie, I think it's in the first Tim Burton movie. It might be in the second one. Something in my life changed forever when I just saw Batman get out of the Batmobile and just go, shields. And the kind of armour shell goes over that, and I just thought, I don't know what's happened to me, but I just think I've seen the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Life is
different now.
It still is.
It's so cool.
That Batmobile is still my favourite.
It's great.
Gorgeous.
In preparation for this, I did end up watching some clips of the Joel Schumacher versions. The Batmobile has fins on it that wobble when it drives, and you're like, at what point did we go from an armoured tank like in the first Tim Burton movie to this wobbling neon lit thing?
They're like 6 feet tall or something. They're insane.
Yeah, and also it's driving at 5 miles an hour with flames out the back. It's like, are they just for show, Batman?
Possibly that led to why the Batmobile is so butch in the Christopher Nolan versions, just having to look back at what had just been before.
I think part of his remit, I mean, I'm sure he knew what he was doing. He wanted to make this very plausible Batman, but I don't doubt for a moment he had the image of bat nipples in his head and how far away he could get from that moment.
Imagine that. Imagine being tormented by the image of bat nipples for like a year
every
while you're making
night.
A film.
But
driven by nipples.
The
Christopher Nolan story.
he must have, like, every day just sort of gone back and watched the opening montage to Batman and Robin, where it is just butts and nipples in bat suits. It's like, wow, what are you doing?
May I, Christopher, because as I said at the very beginning, I want to learn from you real movie aficionados here. I don't remember the Val Kilmer outing as Batman.
I
was
like
it
Batman
any good?
Forever.
It's not good, but I had a lot of affection for it. I was super hyped before that came out. I was more excited than I've been for any other Batman movie. I don't know why. Mm. And I think that is super, super stylized, even more than the Tim Burton's were, but not quite as fucking ridiculous as Batman and Robin.
Right, okay.
Is it though?
It's not quite.
It's definitely pointing in the same direction.
Yeah, but it doesn't have nipples pointing in that direction, which is
huge. That's true.
There's all this terrifying sort of gothic architecture of Gotham, though, and he just basically splashes neon over everything.
But it hadn't
everything.
Got quite as much neon as the next one.
That's true. I do actually, I will agree, I have a soft spot. I know a lot of people found it too much, but I actually really enjoyed Jim Carrey as the Riddler in that. But I do love the quote that Tommy Lee Jones gave, because he hated Jim Carrey. And he was very vocal about it. He went up to Jim Carrey.
Very different actors, I'd imagine, to then reveal. Yeah.
And that's the quote, because Jim Carrey goes, "Why do you hate me?" And Tommy Lee Jones' answer is, "I cannot sanction your buffoonery."
Amazing. Best quote ever.
What's actually amazing, is that Jim Carrey did not fall down dead on the spot. When he said that to him, like, I feel like I would just crumble to death.
No buffoonery sanctioner are you? Wow. Yeah. It's hard to recover from that, isn't it?
It would be like the end of Last Crusade. You just start to peel away, wouldn't you? Yeah.
What if I tone my buffoonery down just a little bit? What if I modulated? Would you like me, Len?
That's when he went on to do all the serious roles shortly after that, if you look at Jim Carrey's career.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a Tommy Lee Jones
Will you sanction this? Please sanction this?
Look, come around and watch The Majestic.
What about the shirts of popcorn? Oh, my God. What would Tommy Lee Jones make of this podcast? Do you think he would have got to this point?
I don't think he'd sanction it.
He didn't know. He'd have turned it off by now.
I just think he'd
in a room. He'd calmly take off his headphones, bring his laptop over, and just write a comment. Very common in an office. Lit by Venetian blinds.
I like to think he's just listening to it right now and just... No. Just a little shake the head and then no.
I would
not for
rather
not
watch
for Tommy, third person.
I'd
not
rather watch Men in Black International.
Oh,
a low blow.
Yeah, he'd be like, "What else is on Sky Cinema? US Marshals now. That's a film whose buffoonery I can sanction." Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a fan of Batman Forever. It does have... It gave us that quote, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. It gave us the U2 song, "Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me," which is a great song. What else did it give us?
Kiss from a Rose.
It did give us that as well.
Oh,
it gave us Chicks Dig the Car, which is a little out of character for Batman, but still, I'll go with it. Nicole Kidman is Dr. Chase Meridian, who may be the best character name in all the movies. Yeah. And holy rusted metal.
Yeah,
and that is a great line.
That's a great line.
And at least, you know, in amongst all Jim Carrey's buffoonery, Tommy Lee Jones gave a very reserved and competent performance as Two-Face.
So restrained.
You know what? I like what Jack Nicholson did. I'm going to dial that up. Everything.
I love it. Yeah, that's pretty spot on. That's pretty good. Yeah. Do you do a Nicholson Joker?
Can you?
No.
Oh.
Dave, can you?
I can just do Bane. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah.
I managed to get Bane into the Die Hard thing, so...
So, yeah. That's
it's
Bane.
Coming soon, don't worry.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. When we least expect it, he'll be going...
Yeah.
What a lovely, lovely voice.
Driven by nipples. Christopher Nolan story.
You were only born to the nipples.
I was raised by nipples. That's true, Bane. You were. As we all were.
Some of us were raised by nipples. That's true.
Are we going to talk? I mean, I know we touched on Superman Returns earlier.
I'd rather not.
Okay.
I was
going
to say we could talk about anything but nipples.
I think we've had enough buffoonery. Let's sit in silence for a while.
Well said.
No, about all the Superman movies that might have been. Because I think that's really interesting. I mean, I know it's been documented on a million podcasts, the whole John Peters giant mechanical spider story.
Yeah.
But I do think it's such a shame that Superman Returns was the movie we got out of all those possibles that might have been the Superman flyby script that J.J. Abrams wrote.
Yeah, yeah.
I think even McGee would have got the Superman vibe. I mean, Charlie's Angels and Superman, I see a connection
really?
There.
Straight through.
You might have to draw that out for me because I'm...
But you know, that sort of brightly coloured, very like, you know...
Incoherent. That sort of stuff.
But I do, the one thing I think we did miss out on was... In the McGee version, I believe that Robert Downey Jr. was actually cast as Lex Luthor, which
was he now?
Would have been fantastic. Wow. Well, that's what McGee says, and
an evil Tony Stark. I would watch that.
Right?
Who's Tony Stark?
I've never heard of him. I don't know. It's just a name that came to mind for no reason. Anyway,
my old maths teacher, Tony Stark.
Anthony Stark.
Oh, yes, Anthony, that's right. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That would have been kind of cool. And of course, you know, Nicolas Cage in the Superman suit, which we finally got to see, of course, in Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Yeah, right. Which we haven't talked about enough, quite frankly.
It's not possible to talk about it enough.
Yeah, really is. Let's start with Batman first. Who is your favourite version of that character on the big screen? And we have a bit more choice with Batman as well. You got Keaton, you got Kilmer, you got Clooney. If anyone goes for Clooney, by the way, get out.
bless him, though. He's so trying. It's like he doesn't realise what the movie that is being built around him is. He thinks he's in a movie, like an actual. He's acting. He actually acts in that. He lets Arnold Schwarzenegger look at him and go, "Nice to meet you." And he then goes, "Yes, it's nice to meet you too, Mr. Freeze." You're like, "What? That's your comeback?" He's like, he looks like a ridiculous like neon spaceman, and you're like, "I'm here to defeat you." Are you now? Well, someone left the fridge open. You're just like, you're in two
different
movies.
Quality ad-libs for Arnie.
I think George Clooney has, like, very publicly apologised.
He has.
For it. To all comic book fans.
He'll bring it up. So you'll be talking to him about his, you know, oh, so George, tell me about Good Night and Good Luck. Well, yeah, but the nipples. Yeah, forget about that. Let's talk about the nipples. Nothing to do with me. The bad credit card, not my idea, but, you know, still, I'll take responsibility.
Of course, I don't own the suit anymore. I sent it to Chris Nolan years ago.
He stares at it every night.
It hangs above his bed.
As a reminder of what might have been.
like a Peter Stringfellow mirror, just a bat suit with nipples above his bed.
Because of his haunted dreams 20 years later, ironically, he'd make a better Batman because he'd be able to draw on some dark nighttime experiences.
Well, that's the thing. Like you said that Keaton is unhinged, that kind of disconnection that he has, it makes his Bruce Wayne so great. Clooney has none of that. He's just a trust fund guy who's just kind of, he's just happy to be there, isn't he?
He's got a black polo neck on at one point, having an espresso. It's like, how did he know that was coming? It's his fortune so many years later. George, you genius.
Who else?
I'm going to fight some crime tonight, I'll tell you, Alfred. I feel alive.
So maybe let's strike Clooney from the records.
Yeah, George. Michael Keaton's my favourite Batman. I think, as Alex touched on earlier, I think it's probably something to do with where you were in your life, what age you were and stuff. But I was so excited by Shields, and why didn't anybody tell me I had one of those things? That great line as well, where he kind of has the things dart out to the walls.
It's weird, very though, cool. Because, I mean, like, yeah, I Keaton is my favourite, so I'll just start with that. However, like, both his Batman outings were films entirely dominated by the villain. Mm. Like, and Jack Nicholson got top billing, and obviously his performance, you know, was the big thing, and the eye-catching performance in that whole movie. And then the sequel, I mean, both Michelle Pfeiffer and Danny DeVito owned that movie to the point that I think Keaton actually said, "I want some of my lines cut because there's no point me competing with them. I'd just rather stand here and be solemn." And I'd argue that the moment in Batman Returns, which is my favourite moment from any Batman movie ever, is the moment where Catwoman flips out of the department store, flip, 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 meow, boom. So cool. I remember looking at that in the cinema and just going, I think I've seen the greatest moment I'm ever going to see on the cinema screen. That's a great moment. Whereas I think Batman Begins is probably the first Batman movie where Batman is really the star of that movie. Yep. There is no villain that competes with Christian Bale in that movie. Mm. And I know a lot of fun was made of his voice at the time, but that bit where, like, he's got the cop upside down and he's like, "I swear to God, swear to me!" You're like, wow!
That's good. That's very good.
I'm Batman.
That's very good as well. That's good. Just, go on, Dave, go on. You know, you want to do it.
Swear to me! Yes, I will! If you could just all leave me alone for a moment, it's going to be a while.
But then we go from there, and like after Batman Begins, it does become a villain's universe again. I mean, Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker, so much has been said, but it is truly, truly incredible. And The Dark Knight, again, it's not my favourite, but it does contain the best Batman action scene ever, which is obviously the truck chase and like flipping that 18-wheeler. And, you know, even the little bit with the bat pod where it just sort of like goes through the shopping mall and it's just like, it's the sound it makes.
The sound of that, it's a really sexy.
The bit where it hits the wall, flips and turns around and then just keeps on going. I was like, oh my God, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I'm there for it. I saw it in the States and it got a round of applause.
It should, and it absolutely should. Yeah. It's so, I love that movie. And, again, Batman Returns. I think a lot of this comes down to an age thing as well. You know, I just remember, you know, watching Batman Returns as a kid, and when your mind is a little less cynical, and you're just like, this world exists! But yeah, Batman, I think the fact that the Dark Knight, as an adult, is a movie that really affected me, shows just how good it is. Mm. Mm. That wasn't Bane, by the way. It's just
ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to visit Ray and Francis in Gotham. How's it going out there? Where are you from? Wisconsin?
What a lovely, lovely voice, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back later. Try the veal.
I'm a crazy guy. I'm a crazy kind of guy.
Bale, Helen?
Oh my God, I find him so annoying.
Helen?
I watched it again recently and I didn't hate it as much as I always did.
Oh, that's nice.
Hate is stronger. But I find Batman, I find The Dark Knight Rises just the most disappointing Batman movie at that point that I had ever seen, because I thought it was politically boneheaded. I thought it was overly complicated. I thought it has so many scenes where he's just like coming back from something that doesn't affect the story and doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he hasn't been doing anything for 8 years. It doesn't matter that his cartilage is all gone at the start and still we're spending time in the doctor's waiting room with
him. That's very relatable. As I hit a certain age, though. I look at that. I came in here today just walking down the stairs. My knee went. So
you won't be the Flash for long
if you slip a bat disc.
She did. Yeah. That's in Batman and Robin. He actually slips my bat back.
And then, of course, there's Ben Affleck. Batfleck.
I forget.
I think he's not bad as a character.
Good.
Yeah. Just, you know, the stuff maybe going on around him isn't always brilliant. But I think he in himself in the performance is not terrible. Mm.
Well, then we get into this thing that I think we just done earlier about Batman killing people. And, you know, people were up in arms, like with Batman versus Superman. I think in the Ultimate Edition, the body count by Batman alone is 21 people that he actively kills. Like,
yeah, and I've had this argument with people online who literally they came to me to argue about it for a solid week, which was great.
Were you hosting a workshop or something?
I should have done. I really should. I made a mild criticism of a single line in the movie on Twitter.
Dangerous.
For a solid week.
Oh gosh.
Had people arguing with me. So their point was this: that he is a Batman who has been hardened by his years fighting crime, and that has been particularly traumatized by the events in Metropolis, and that's what's driven him over the edge. And, you know, the one rule can be formulated differently. It's either doesn't use guns or doesn't kill people, but, you know, there's some room for maneuver. I know he's done both in the comics, but not consistently, not for a long time, and most of them have been retconned out. So it's, you know, I have some sympathy for the let's have a rule, let's have something to distinguish him from the people he's fighting, because otherwise... What's the point?
And it's quite extreme the lengths he's going to as well. Like, it's the branding thing, I think, that sort of it tips it over the edge into, like, well, these aren't just indiscriminate, like, deaths as a result of him trying to do good. He's branding people with the bat symbol, who he actively then knows are murdered in prison because they've been branded. Although, not to get into it, the Ultimate Edition does go some way to explaining that. So those extra 30 minutes count for a lot.
I like that. I like the Ultimate Edition. There we go. You guys stand. I will fight you.
The Ultimate Edition does improve on some of the storytelling.
All right.
For sure.
It was the first thing we all had to agree on before we pressed record on this pod, which I love. It has a place in all our hearts.
All right. So,
Say Helen all your comments.
Oh, God.
That's right. It's at Helen L.
Do you know, I have actually muted the hashtag release the Snyder cut. Right. And my life has gotten so much better, I'll tell you.
Yes.
So
let it go.
Yeah. I don't think he doesn't do himself any favours when he stands at Q&A. He's going, hey, of course Batman kills people. Grow the fuck up.
I mean, even then, his run rule was always dodgy, let's be honest. Because, like, you know, Christian Bale drops a guy from, like, a second floor a fire escape, right? You can't be sure he's not going to die. You can't be sure he's not going to, you know, break his leg. There'll be complications and septicemia and he'll die. Like,
I love the idea of Batman sweeping the bottom of the alley first to make sure there aren't any spikes or anything.
Exactly.
Like, really taking his time to go, I'm 90% he's just going to break his
ankles. There's a discarded mattress over there. I'm just going to put that there. Down. I'm just going to drag this over.
This was useful. I'm off.
that went really dark really quickly. I'm just thinking about this poor guy dying slowly over a period of months.
I'm telling you.
Victorian era medicine is what we've got going on here.
I'm pretty sure
just
he died.
Just on this wooden block, my friend, my villainous friend.
Oh my god. Alright, let's talk about Superman then. Our favourite version of this character, and let's see now, it's Christopher Reeve, Brandon Routh, or Henry Cavill.
Well, to get the ball rolling, I thought that Brandon Routh was effectively doing a Christopher Reeve's impression.
Right. Mm.
He was impersonating even down to his speaking voice. Mm. I've never met Brandon Routh. I don't know what he sounds. Maybe that's just his speaking voice.
He sounds like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was...
He sounds like...
Very nice
to meet you, Ben. Try the veal.
I'm going to give up my powers and be with you, Lord. I just think he was doing a Christopher Reeve impression, and Christopher Reeve is the Superman close to my heart. I will say that Henry Cavill, I think, Alex is so spot on. There was so little Clark Kent in Man of Steel that you didn't really get to see if he could offer that side of it. I did quite like the idea of that nomadic, tortured alien on our planet, copying from job to job. I thought that was quite a nice idea as far as an origin story goes.
Yeah.
And he looks great as Superman. I mean, Henry Cavill does look really good in the blue spandex.
Yeah, I'd like to second that. Yeah. He looks really good.
He looks great.
He does. But, I mean, so here's the thing. It's like, yes, I think we established earlier on Christopher Reeve is the big screen's best ever Superman. And then Brandon Routh comes along, and like you say, does a fairly good Christopher Reeve impression. Everyone's like, no. I think Man of Steel, for whatever people think of it, it is the right way to go with Superman at that point. You had to do something different. Trying to recapture what Christopher Reeve brought and that tone of movie wasn't going to work. Mm. And by doing Man of Steel and by imprinting his vision on it, and, you get the guy who made Watchmen and 300 to make a Superman movie. You have to then accept that he is going to do what he wants with that character. And Zack Snyder does what he wants with that character, and it is his interpretation. And people go, he hates Superman. And I don't think he does. He just wanted to update him for this generation of cinema goers.
I mean, he did once say he didn't like Superman. Okay. Like, he's literally...
I struggle with the idea of a man who hates Superman making three Superman films.
Well, no, but I don't think he has
to do that.
That's the only way he's going to learn. I'll direct the shit out of you, Superman.
So I thought it would just help the cat out of the tree. No, kill the cat. Kill the fucking cat.
Then eat the cat. Then eat the dead cat.
Take off those sexy pants from over your trousers.
Kill Zod. Kill everyone. Kill Lois.
No, but I think he did that because he wanted to do something different with the character, but I think the question is whether he moved too far away from what the character is. And for me, he kind of did a little bit. I like Zack Snyder a lot. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. But for me, he was trying too hard to make Superman something he's not and trying to make him a little bit too Batman-y. Mm. And I think Henry Cavill, while he looks great in the suit, has one... to me, fatal flaw as Superman, which is that sometimes he looks smug. I'm not saying he is smug. I'm sure he's a lovely man. But sometimes he looks smug. And if there's one emotion you should never see on Superman's face, it's smugness.
That's a very good point.
Unless it's evil Superman in Superman
3. Unless it's evil Superman, in which case, absolutely fine.
Or if it's Superman in Superman 4 who's just sort of doing it for the paycheck. Nuclear man! I know. I say that knowing that Christopher Reeve was involved heavily in that movie, so he was.
But you can see there's a good idea.
Your stars should never become involved in a creative capacity.
No. And him addressing the world to bring world peace around.
But then you wouldn't get Thor Ragnarok or what happened in Endgame if stars weren't involved. Never mind, it's just a rumor I heard once.
Endgame.
Mm, sounds fun, doesn't it?
Might check it out after this. Sounds pretty damn good.
you can see on paper why Christopher Reeve would be like, yes, Superman should be involved in nuclear disarmament.
Yes.
That, 100%. That
and
makes
that's
sense.
The star's ego getting involved in the films, isn't it? If anyone can stop nuclear war and save the world.
But also,
when he walks up the steps and addresses, the UN or whatever it's supposed to be in that movie, it's kind of, that's... I play Superman. That's the scene I want to do.
And Superman 4 has some good stuff. I love the scene where he has a double date with, I think it's Margot Hemingway, but it might be Mariel Hemingway. And he's dating her as Superman, and he's dating Lois Lane as Clark Kent, and he has to rush between the two tables.
Oh, and Zack Snyder made the character dark? That's appalling behaviour. That is, I mean, I'm disgusted. I agree there are some good moments in it, though. For some weird reason, one of the most iconic Superman moments for me that I remember when I think Superman is him throwing all the world's nuclear weapons into the sun. Yeah. It's imprinted in my mind.
Has he got him in a giant piece of netting?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
How'd you get netting that big? That's what I want to ask.
Lord of Fishermen went hungry.
You can get anything online. For Superman 3, which I did quite enjoy, given all of its faults and the bits I've read about it.
It has no faults, Dave.
Well, you know, the great Richard Pryor wasn't in the best place at the time, and you know, but I really enjoyed it. I love the retro vintage kind of computer technology when I watch it now.
So good.
It's that Atari 2600 graphic of Superman when they've built the supercomputer in the cave.
It's amazing.
But the bit where he's evil Superman, another moment that always stands out for me, is where he's flicking the peanuts at the mirror, just staring at himself. It's a good piece of acting. Mm.
He's so good in that moment. Because the evil Superman has stubble, and good Superman does not have stubble.
That's how you know what kind of mood I'm in, by the way. If you see a clean, freshly shaven Dave, come and give me a hug.
Wait a minute. Hang a second. This is evil Dave Perry we're talking about.
He's going to say Batman. Well, we can't even see any stubble behind the Bane mask you're wearing.
Luckily, Dave's face is on your wife front, Alex, so...
I haven't shown you the reverse yet.
Hello, Chris. Would you like to see the hairy side? Is that what we're saying? Sorry.
You might be adopted to darkness. Anyway.
The night is darkest just before the dawn. Not even Bane's line.
But it should have been.
Should have been,
absolutely. All lines in that movie should have been Bane's lines. I have a soft spot for Superman 3, and Chris Reeve is Superman. Going back to the idea of him playing Clark and Superman, he plays three different characters in all those movies. He plays Clark Kent, Kal-El, is this very, very noble figure when he's not in the Clark Kent, bumbling Clark Kent act. Then he plays a bumbling Clark Kent perfectly.
So well.
And then there's Superman, who's this great, big, strapping, the best of us, which is what Superman should be, the sort of idealized version of humanity. And this sequence in Superman 2 where Lois calls him on being Superman and he goes to retrieve his glasses from the fire.
He realizes
that the jig
lovely
is out.
There's a lovely piece of score there. It's only the music changes as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's the way he takes his glasses off and suddenly he's Clark Kent and then he straightens up and he's Superman. And it's just incredible. Did you like that?
Remind me of the chronology of that movie because that happens.
It came after Superman.
That happens after he refuses to save her from Niagara Falls.
Well, he does save her by getting branches and stuff.
Yeah. Right. There's a long period where she could have smashed her head off a rock and he's just going, grab onto something, Lois. I'd be bloody furious. I'd go, wait, you were? I could have died.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That relationship is doomed from the start.
That's a good point. But as I say, as a kid, always fast forward the bit after that, where he flies around getting her flowers from exotic islands and...
That's true.
And coming back to that horrible plastic silver sheeting that he chooses to have. If you can fly anywhere around the world and get the ingredients for different meals that you make in Superman, fly to Habitat and get some decent Egyptian cotton sheets. Don't make the love of your life sleep in that. It's like sleeping in cling film.
A window into Dave's life.
I was once a ladies' man, all right? I can still remember what it was like all those years ago.
I'd like some Egyptian cotton sheets.
No, I'm not Prince! It would make the bedroom look busy!
Oh, I really want to see Bane go bedsheet shopping now. Bring him back just for that.
Interior design tips with Bane. Sure, things in trees looks good, no! Where is he from? It veers wildly around the place.
Stick with me here, but Queer Eye, except with Bane. Okay?
Queer Eye for the Bane guy.
I'm here with Kirsty and Phil. Today, we're using seashell templates to liven up a stall.
Shower curtain, so 1980s.
Okay, good.
Right.
Tommy Lee Jones is just furious now, isn't he? he's hate listening to this now. He's still listening to it, but he's just sitting there.
He's furious.
Another small shake of the head.
The buffoonery.
Oh, these mothers. All right, so let's talk about favourite moments from these movies. What is your favourite Batman moment, Alex Sane? I think you've already mentioned a couple of things.
Yeah, it's... I mean, look, it's still Catwoman's moment. Flip, flip, flip. Meow. That's amazing. Still the greatest moment. I do enjoy Jack Nicholson removing a 4-foot pistol from his trousers to shoot down the Batwing. I think that's so ridiculous.
I mean, love his Joker.
It is really good. Perhaps he overuses the cackle a bit too much, if we're being critical. I know it's Jack Nicholson, so why would we? Because he's brilliant, but he laughs a little too much. But yeah, I mean, that whole handshake at the start where he electrocutes the guy and that whole, a bit hot under the collar. Yeah.
Where does he get those wonderful toys? All that sort of stuff.
And the chest-puffing dance that he does to Prince's Party Man when he enters the art gallery and they, like, spray all the stuff on the art. I think that's fantastic as well.
Yeah.
The idea of him, like, having his own song.
Yeah,
and he's also freaking terrifying. That thing with his girlfriend stuck with me for years.
Oh my goodness, Jerry Hall, where he's got her to wear the mask because he's made a piece of art underneath.
Yeah.
That's seriously dark, isn't it? I hadn't thought about how dark that is. Wow.
It's super twisted.
Because I haven't seen it for ages, but the big thing is he's put that chemical that's going to disfigure people in all the perfume.
So if you get a certain shampoo or you get a certain
combination
combo,
people can't
use any kind of beauty products at all. There's that scene with the two newsreaders who have just let themselves go to pot reporting the evening news. Yes. They've got all scrunchy hair and spots and stuff.
And I also think his Joker works really well because of how grounded and just malicious and evil and kind of normal he is, or a sort of more predictable, like, evil gangster he is as Jack Napier at the start, and the transformation into the Joker. I think that combination works really well. Yeah. I mean, he's great.
He's awesome.
I mean, he's no Danny DeVito's Penguin, I'm sorry.
who is? Oh, that's
great, Danny DeVito's, there's another one. Like,
you've got a bloody nose, have I?
But Batman Returns, like, if you think about it, that was a major event movie, a summer blockbuster for kids, and it is still a kids' movie, but some of the stuff in there is so dark. I remember, like, watching it for a second time as an adult, and that whole bit where the Penguin is talking to his new PR campaign manager when he's running for mayor, and he's like, "Now I'd like to fill her void." Didn't understand what that meant as a kid. As an adult, oh my god, this is a
super creepy
kids movie.
Very creepy. I still don't get it. But
never mind, Chris.
Explain to me after the show.
I did read someone's wonderful theory online that it's a premonition. The whole Danny DeVito thing is a premonition for where we are now with Trump. Yeah. I had not seen that connection.
Oh, wow.
But this whole idea that Danny DeVito's campaign to become mayor gets brought down when you hear a recording of him going, "I played this stinking city like a harp from hell." Trump, running for president, gets recorded saying something worse. Still the president.
It's really depressing. We need a Batman.
We do.
That's what we need.
We do.
My favourite niche line, this is a niche line.
Yeah.
From Batman is where Alfred, he's looking into doing his research in the Batcave at the multiple computer screens, and he's there, he's in his polo neck and his spectacles, twitching a little. And Alfred brings him some soup, and he, without breaking eye contact with the monitors, he takes some, then he spits it out, and he says, "This is cold, Alfred." And Alfred says, "It's a fishy wild, sir." And he goes, "Oh, cheers." He just carries on eating it. And I like the laid backness of being a billionaire in that particular niche scene that stuck with me as a child.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Helen, favourite Batman moment?
It's actually the same as Alex's, I'm afraid.
But Catwoman?
Yeah, Catwoman.
Okay.
Unbelievably great moment. Very, very formative. I've modelled my entire life on her and my look, as you can tell. but actually, just in terms of like little throwaway lines, I actually really like in The Dark Knight where Alfred asks if Bruce is going to take the Batmobile out during the day, and Bruce is like, "Daylight? No. I've got to be a bit more low-key." And Alfred goes, "Ah, the Lamborghini then, sir."
I do like, I mean, Kane has so many wonderful lines in that trilogy. I do like, "Some men just want to watch the world burn. Yeah. I'm like, brilliant.
You used that at a dinner party I threw the other day. I know where it come from.
Did you overcook something?
Yeah, the pasta was a little on the crunchy side, Helen. You're not wrong.
I failed you.
That was pasta.
What do we do when we've eaten crunchy pasta? We get up and have another bowl.
It's fishy thwaz. It's meant to be crunchy.
All right.
So don't talk about my butler. I'm meant to be an everyman.
He was folding your Egyptian cotton seats.
I haven't mentioned my own Batman moment, but it's a moment in the first Batman. I've talked about this in the podcast before, but where the Joker goes to Vicky Vale's apartment, Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne confronts him and instantly snaps and grabs a poker and goes, "You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts." Because that's perfect. That's, you can actually hear the disconnection going on there.
He's put the tray down the front of his shirt, hasn't he? Which acts as a bulletproof vest.
What a
chance. I knew he was going to shoot me in the nuts.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah, I love that moment.
That's
Superman.
A great moment.
It's a great moment. Superman then. Helen.
The best Superman moment. Oh, hang on. Give me a second.
I mean, you must have figured this was coming.
I should have, in retrospect.
I'm going to swivel to Dave.
Please do, I'll come back to you.
Evil Dave Berry.
Swivel to me. I love the bit where General Zod and his two henchmen / women first go into that small American town, having done a little road trip across that kind of part of the world and stuff. And it doesn't seem that many things have changed for a lot of the locals, even in this day and age. To think that there's all these kind of burly hicks who want to go outside and give them a good pasting and then you realise that these guys are for real. And just there's Superman, what's her name, what's the name of the
Sarah Douglas as Ursa,
that's what I was looking for. But Ursa's just disdain for them and almost is kind of like smirking, like, how simple are you guys? The bit where they take the rifle out of the sheriff's hand and they just kind of float it along to themselves. They hand it to General Zod and he shoots himself accidentally and just kind of like picks it up. They hand it to the big bearded guy whose name I can't remember either. And he's going, and he's trying to get lasers to come out of his eyes. He's doing it on twigs and stuff. And Ursa, when she gets bitten by the snake, the poisonous snake.
Yeah.
I just love how they set up the film set up the three villains brilliantly with those little pieces.
I
love Zod.
I mean, my favourite moment is obviously the bit where Superman snaps Zod's neck in Man of Steel.
That's not contentious.
I will say though, everyone was like, oh, I can't believe he killed Zod. I can't believe he did that. He kills Zod in Superman 2 as well. Like, he throws him into a ravine, and then he doesn't help Non or Ursa when they're, like, falling into the ravine either.
Yeah. After crushing his hand, that lovely special effect of Terrence Stamp's hand crumbling.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes...
and it goes... and he lifts him up and he's, like, doubled over.
Yeah. Bones are being broken.
Yes! That's better than the people they fall in love.
Superman 8. He's killing people.
Mum, shut up!
He's gone insane.
Dad, shake my hand, shake my hand.
It's a Brightburn prequel. Oh, God.
No, nobody wants that.
No. Nobody wants that.
My favourite moment is a moment that never actually made it into Superman in the script before Richard Donner got hold of it and went, I'm going to change a lot of this. There was a scene where Superman was chasing Lex Luthor, who he thought was Lex Luthor, down the street. He catches him, spins around.
Oh, God, yes.
It turns out to be Telly Savalas, who bewilderingly is in the character of Kojak and goes, "Who loves you, baby?" and offers Superman a lollipop. That would have been in it. Had Richard Donner not gone, "Nope."
Yeah, that maybe shows they didn't know what to do with the character. Yeah.
I did not know that. That's a game show. That's a total Batman. Yeah. Batman, if that had happened. Batman.
It's amazing. And when you watch Superman 2, like, it's incredible that Superman 2 turned out as well as it did, given that everything that went on there with Donner being fired halfway through, Richard Lester coming on, Gene Hackman refusing to return.
Yeah.
So there are moments in Superman 2 where it's not Gene Hackman, it is a double. So and they've dubbed him over with a fairly decent sound alike.
North mess past my God, North!
I'm Lex Luthor, ruler of Australia.
What a lovely, lovely cape. All the time he was in there taking our powers. I love that film.
It's such a good film. It's got probably the best, my favourite Superman moment comes from that film, which is But the bit where they're attacking Metropolis and they have like a bus full of people and Superman just goes, no, the people. And that's who he is. That's who he, that's what he cares about, but the people.
That's why the moment in Man of Steel is bad. It's not that he snaps Zod's neck. It's that he's done fuck all to help anybody up until that
point.
Oh,
that's like, a good point.
There's been, generalized saving in that he has destroyed a world engine, but there has been no specific saving in that we have not seen him help a single human before that moment.
And touching on the moment I said before where the three, Zod and his henchmen and women walk into the, I'll never remember their names, walk into the town.
Jeff and Sarah.
Jeff and Sarah, that's good. Zod, Jeff and Sarah walk into a bar and beat everyone up. The Metropolis bit you just talked about there, Chris, it's where us simple humans turn on them to help Superman. It's, there's that bit where he gets crushed behind the coach of people he's trying to help into the Marlboro advertising section.
Yeah.
And that, like, they start to pick up kind of crowbars and stuff, and they start to go, right, let's get him if they're picking on Superman. Yeah. And that shows what you're saying. It's about how it's a relationship where we love him because of the things he's done for us.
Yeah. But I mean, like, after he snaps Zod's neck, why does he not just fly backwards around the planet in reverse time?
It's such a great question.
That's how time works.
Yes. All that gravel in that car. God.
I mean, it is amazing when you think about Richard Donner's otherwise great film, let's be honest. But, like, with all of Superman's powers that he actually has, they came up with some shit like that to finish the film.
The magic kiss.
Oh, the magic kiss.
Oh my word.
I remember.
Like, he doesn't have enough.
I think I was probably five, and even at five, I went, well, this will never work for a franchise because then he'll just reverse time always.
That's a very good point. I've decided a favourite Superman moment.
Okay.
It's in the first film when he and Lois get mugged.
Oh, so good they used it again, Wonder Woman. Yeah.
Yes, but in fairness, in Wonder Woman, he knew what was going on, whereas the great thing in Superman is where he goes, well, it's not worth it, it's trading your life for, what was it, you know, lipstick $5 and whatever it is, a stick of gum. And she goes, those are the exact contents of my purse.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, oh, lucky guess.
Oh, because he catches the bullet, doesn't he, and turns around and slumps against the wall.
And then he throws it up in the air and catches it again when he's a little smile to himself as he's insidiously working his way into Lois Lane's life.
Only to then date two people at once. Different personalities.
What a motherfucker.
Right? It's Batman.
It's definitely Batman.
It's got to be Batman.
Batman.
You know I can't say that, even if I think it. I'm on record.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well,
he absconds with an entire Russian ballet, so he's not great either.
Yeah.
It's very, very true. Very, very true.
And there is that bit in Batman v Superman where he's got some random women in bed. And, like, the whole point of Batman is he pretends to be a playboy. It's not that he actually is a playboy. So that really annoyed me, actually.
Yeah.
He's a man. He has needs, Helen.
Apparently. Yeah, his need is to fight crime. Yeah.
That's true.
That's the need that he has.
That's how he gets his rocks off.
To avenge his dead parents, by the way.
Oh, does he have any?
He has been dead.
Hang on, whose parents died?
Yeah, right.
Have we mentioned the dead parents? I don't think we have. All right, I said at the beginning of the podcast, we've got to wrap it up now, but I said at the beginning that I would not ask you guys who would win in the fight between Batman and Superman, but I am going to because I am that kind of guy. Dave Berry, who would win in the fight, Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Hmm.
Thanks for backing me up, Rob. It's like Die Hard all over again.
See, I have the correct answer written down here. It's 50-50, but you got the wrong one. Helen.
Absolutely. Every single day of the week, twice on Sundays, Superman.
Yes.
I,
it's actually... factually, not to be the boring person who saw this moment coming and statistically looked up the number of times they have faced off on the pages of comic books, Batman is legit the winner.
Yeah, but here's my problem with that. Here's my problem with that. Oh, it's rubbish. No, but it is rubbish. It's what narrative demands.
He's the thinker.
Canonically, Superman is a level 10 intelligence. Canonically, Superman is also a thinker.
Right. Also, the thing is he could literally just run at Batman and he would split all of his limbs, molecules, and atoms apart.
If he decided...
just charge
him. Like, okay, here's what it's like. It's like Muhammad Ali is in a boxing ring with a two-year-old girl. Now, because Muhammad Ali is not a dick...
It's a strange analogy.
Okay, we're talking a few years ago.
Muhammad Ali's a nice guy.
So he gets down and he plays spars with the little girl a little bit. Obviously, he's very careful not to hurt the little girl because he obviously doesn't want to because she's adorable, right? That's what we're talking about here.
Not.
You don't actually think that Muhammad Ali would be defeated by a 2-year-old.
If Batman is that little girl has a shotgun in her purse. Don't know why a little girl has a purse, but she's
Batman's
got...
one rule, but, dude.
Right, I get that, but the planning thing is true, and every time that they've gone toe-to-toe, Batman's plans... I mean, Batman is a human who is a founding member of the Justice League who lives alongside gods and genuinely superpowered aliens, and even he basically had a contingency plan. If any of them ever turned evil, he knew how to contain them. That's how well he plans.
If I may, even though we've both gone for Superman at this stage, I spoke to my brother-in-law about this, and he's a big comic book fan.
Right.
And he brought to my attention that there is a particular version of the comic book called graphic novel. Sorry to all you fans out there, I'll put my hands up, I don't know. But he was saying that there's a moment where the bad guys have captured the concept of every single superhero's powers, and they can now use those themselves, and have everybody captured, including Superman. And Batman rescues them, and the bad guys go, I just don't get it. How did he manage to do this? And Superman replies, because he's the most dangerous man in the world.
I do actually, to go back to Helen's point, I think, Helen, there is a thing about Superman's self-control, because in the Superman-Batman comic, when Batman gets Superman's powers, he goes cray-cray. He goes nuts and tries to, save the world, but not in a great way. Mm-hmm. Because, you have to have so much self-control as Superman.
With great power comes great response. No.
Where did you get that from?
I just felt like I wanted to say it.
With great power comes great responsibility.
You should write that down, Dave, because
it's not bad.
It's got a real ring to it.
Inspirational. With great power comes great...
I can see that on a t-shirt.
Freebies. With great power comes great freebies.
Yeah. Freebies, yeah, that's what we're going to go for.
It's going to be the new logo for my wife.
And on that bombshell...
Freebies should not be written on wife.
That you wear on the outside of your trousers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Freebie and the beans. There's a deep cut reference there, but anyway, on that bombshell. You know who wins whenever Batman fights Superman? Cinema.
I mean, does it though, canonically?
I think I like that.
Well...
I mean, comic books.
Let's not delve into that statement. Let's not pick it apart.
When Batman fights Superman, comic book sales may win. I'm not sure if cinema.
I think cinema pretty definitively wins, Helen.
There's an ultimate edition of that, by the way. Very good. Extra 30 minutes.
Definitely check it out. Because Tommy Lee Jones is now shaking his head. He's thrown his iPhone against a wall. That is all the time we have, I'm afraid. And if this has got you all stoked up to see any of the films we talked about, even the ultimate editions, then check out the DC Heroes Collection on Sky Cinema, which has launched to mark the premiere of Aquaman.
Yay.
He'd win in the fight between Batman and Superman, wouldn't he? Only the Sky Cinema DC Heroes Collection features the biggest heroes from the iconic comic book stable. So there's Aquaman, there is the Batman and Superman series that we mentioned in all their glory, Wonder Woman, Teen Titans Go to the Movies,
Teen Titans,
Constantine, love Constantine,
oh my gosh,
and many, many more. So there's something for everyone to watch, whether you want to watch Superman, Batman, or the Super Friends. Visit sky.com/SkyCinema for details on how to subscribe. And all that remains for me now is to say bat farewell or super farewell and holy rusted metal to Alex Zane.
The night is darkest just before the dawn.
Said in a very ominous tone of voice whilst pointing at his Dave Berry wife runs. It is goodbye from Dave Berry.
Shields.
I like it. It's goodbye from Helen O'Hara.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Oh, I haven't actually, no.
You know, the guy who played the young Jack Napier, the actor who played him, was the nephew of my dinner lady at school, and she got me a signed 10x8 black and white thing, and it says on it, ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight.
Very good.
Which is great.
Never rub another man's rhubarb. Anyway, and goodbye from me as well. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you soon for the next big Empire / Sky Cinema debate. Until then, I'm off to buy up loads of real estate in California. No real reason. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.